This morning I have two passages of text that are the primary text of this message. And we're going to start out in Ephesians, the first chapter, and then go to Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. So if you'll kind of mark that, Jeremiah 33. And we'll go to Ephesians, the first chapter. My text this morning, starting out in Ephesians, deals with Paul's prayer for this church at Ephesus, but this prayer was recorded in the Word of God, for it is a model for us. And he says something in here that is just touching me so deeply. He says in the 16th verse, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he prays for the church, and this applies to us too, the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And this is the verse that is just touching my heart. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And I want to stop right there. The theme of this message, maybe the title, and you may know the exceeding greatness of his power, that we may know the exceeding greatness of his power. I think the church doesn't really know. I don't mean that critically. I'm there with you. I think we've only scratched the surface of what the mighty power that God has for us and that he will unloose. Now, will you go with me to Jeremiah 33rd chapter? In this chapter, well, in the previous chapter, Jeremiah had a tough job. He was imprisoned for foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem in the captivity of the king Zedekiah. And the Lord tells him to buy land. Now he's in prison, but this land and his family became available, and by the inheritance laws that they had, he was available to, he could buy the land. And the Lord tells him, buy the land. And at the same time, he's prophesying that God is going to destroy Judah, Jerusalem, because of their sins. But at the same time, he assured him that after that, there would be a recovery, and that the people of God would come back. And he's struggling with this. What, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? And the Lord comes to him in the 33rd chapter. He comes to him a second time. Now remember, he's in prison. And God was showing him, and just to abbreviate the story, he shows him that to make an investment in the land, because someday, even though they're in captivity now, someday God is going to restore this land to the people of God. And he says in the 33rd chapter, in the first verse, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, that formed it to establish it, the Lord, and the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. in the hard times, and this was a hard time, God commands us to call unto him. To call unto him. I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. And God's challenge to us this morning is to call unto him, to prove him, to release our faith to him. This hard time that Jeremiah found himself was of the Lord's doing. Whether it was the chastening of Judah and Jeremiah's faithfulness that put him in prison, our hard places are the creation of God. He allows us to go through the difficult places. Sometimes it's maybe his guiding providence. Sometimes it's chastening hand because we took a wrong turn and he wants to get us back on the track. Sometimes it's his refining fire. But he says, call unto me. Regardless of the situation, call unto me. Believe. And I see myself saying, Lord, I trust you so much. Not as much as I would like to. Not as much as I would like to just have more faith and to believe. And the Lord took me to the scriptures of the greatness of his power. If you look, we won't go to the scripture, I don't want to take time, but if you go to Joshua, at the end of Joshua's life, he speaks to the people and he reminds them of what God did. He says, I came against Pharaoh in Egypt when you were imprisoned, when you were prisoners. And Pharaoh buckled under the pressure of God through the plagues that came. I took you through the Red Sea. I opened the waters for you. I took you through the Jordan River. I took you through the wilderness. I brought you into the land of promise. I did all those things for you and all the battles that took place. I was with you and I gave you victory. I look in Job. When Job went through all his troubles, and he was grumbling and confronting. He wanted to confront God. Lord, I don't know what's going on. And God speaks to him. And he tells him of his greatness. He says, wherefore wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swelling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors. How hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place? That it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? Did you do any of those things? Were you there? When I formed this earth, when I measured it out, when I created this species of animal and this and this and this and that, and when I did all these things, read the 38th and 39th chapter. He says, were you there when I did all these things? Were you there? Is this not the same God that we pray to and serve? Who did all those things? Who formed this earth? Who spoke it into existence? I love what Isaiah wrote in his book. I believe it's in the 40th chapter, yes. He says, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over the gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who? Tell me. Who? We sang, our God is mighty. We sing those words. We read the account in the Old Testament, and it's beautiful. But the reality, do we really grasp what God did? The power that he exhibited, the care and concern for his people, the way he protected, the way he delivered them, the way he made a way, the way he opened rivers and made a pathway to victory. And the scriptures tell us of God's goodness when we pray to believe. Romans, Paul writes, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He uses this terminology. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Over and above, more than conquerors. We quote this scripture in Ephesians, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Oh Lord, help us. As we read your word, Lord, as we pray, call on me and I will answer and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Are you calling on the Lord for those things? Are you calling on the Lord to show you the things, the great and mighty things? I'm not talking about, great demonstration. I'm talking about how he'll orchestrate in your life to take care of you and bring you to victory. Call unto me, and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not. Well, and our God is a over-the-top kind of God. I hate to use that terminology. It sounds almost demeaning because of today's, vernacular, but God goes so farther above what we're able to even imagine. That he does so much. And we haven't tapped into that. We haven't released our faith to believe that. Released our faith to accept it and receive it. Oh, praise the Lord. Matthew, Jesus said, again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. There's power in agreement in prayer. You know, I hesitate sometimes to quote that because it sounds like a formula. And there's so much more to that verse than just being a formula. If two agree, if we agree together, and that implies there's faith. Prayer without faith is not, is just a laundry list of gripes or wants or whatever. But there has to be faith, and prayer have to go together. Prayer without faith is, it's not prayer. But it's faith with prayer. Well, I know, well, Brother Ron, there's God's timing, yes, and there's God's will. Yes, true. And there's also being sinless, righteous before Him. We want our prayers answered. We want God to move on our behalf. If two agree together, can you imagine if the whole church agreed together to see revival? I mean, really believe it, not just words that we say off the roll off our tongue, but all together believe that we will see revival. Can you imagine what would take place? Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus said, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Can you imagine that? All things you ask, you'll receive. Now, I know this gets perverted in some preachings. It's name it and claim it kind of gospel. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about praying in the will of God. He's talking about asking for spiritual things. We sang, it is your will that my life be healed. That is in God's will. God wants you healed spiritually. God wants you whole spiritually. God wants you delivered spiritually. You may endure sickness. You may endure reverses in this life. I lost an arm. That happened. But God is still faithful. That's not the issue. It's the spiritual benefit in our lives that God, it is your will that my life is healed. Praise God. It is your will for God to call back our children and our grandchildren and our loved ones and our families. It is God's will for them to be saved, my brother and sister. It is God's will. And oh, I pray the Holy Spirit would increase our faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So faith comes from the word. As we dwell on the word, faith begins to grow in our hearts. What does the word say? All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In John's gospel, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He says also in the 15th chapter, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. Oh, Lord, help us as we listen and believe your word. Oh, God, take us to that next level. Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. You see, there's an obedience part in this also. A righteousness part, as I like to call it. That we have to be before Him. We have to be sinless. Well, Brother Ron, we're imperfect. Yes, we are, but we can ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from every sin. You realize, you read the scripture in James when it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And it says, if they have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. You see, the Holy Spirit can only work if the vessel is clean and cleansed. And there is no sin that is in that vessel. Many of the scriptures start out with repent. 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 Do we have things to repent of? Every day. Every day. If we say we have no sin, the Word of God calls us a liar. Those are hard words, but they're true. Lord, forgive me. Listen to the scripture. James, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's not only sinful to do something wrong, it's also sinful to lose an opportunity to do good. You know to do right. Maybe you're not reading the scriptures enough. Maybe you're not spending time in prayer. Maybe you're not attending the church services as much as you should. Maybe you're not availing yourself of the Bible study. Maybe you're not availing yourself of the prayer meetings. Word of God says you need to do those things. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, God, help us to be sinless and righteous before you as we plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, cleanse us from every sin stain. And then we come to faith. And I love what the Word of God says. It kind of puts everything in perspective. Jesus told his disciples, because of your unbelief, and they couldn't cast out that demon in that young man, young boy. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed. I'd never seen a mustard seed before. I've seen pictures, but they're pretty small. And God says, if you have just that amount of faith, just that amount of faith, you'll say to this mountain, be removed, and it shall be removed. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to appropriate your promises and to believe, praise God, what the Word says. That when we pray with no limitations. You don't have to stay like you are. You don't have to stay in that condition. Sometimes we kind of feel like, well, what's the use? I love the Lord, and maybe this is my lot, and I've got to stay like this. And I made mistakes in the past, and now I'm living with those mistakes. If we believe that God forgave us of our sins, can He not change our situation? If He saved us, if He forgave us of those sins, however they were, if He forgave us of those sins, is He not able to change our situation? If He is able, and we know He is able, if we pray and say, oh Lord, I'm trusting You, I'm believing Your word, no matter how impossible the situation looks, no matter how far away from God my loved one is, I'm believing Your word. Call unto Me. In the hard times, call unto Me. and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Oh, Lord, help us, oh God, to release our faith. It's so easy. It's so easy to confess our unbelief. So easy to wallow in that fear and doubt. And the Word of God is saying, God is encouraging us in His Word to call on His name, to believe His promises. He didn't just put words on a page to fill up a book. These are real. Can He baptize me? I've been praying for the Holy Ghost a long time. Can He baptize? Is it His will for me to be baptized? Absolutely it is. You're not praying outside of His will. You're praying in His will. Lord, show me. Oh, praise God. He can change your circumstances. He can change your situation. He can save your husband or your wife or your children. He can bring back your grandchildren. He is able. Praise the Lord. We had a message Wednesday night. Brother Steve brought forth, I will bring your children back from the land of the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. And return to their borders. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you believe the word tonight, today? Oh, my God. But there's a part for us to do. It's to pray. Call on me. Call on me. Pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit of God. Not a mechanical prayer. Not say, well, I prayed 2 hours. That's fine. But it's praying in the Holy Ghost. It's the quality of that prayer. Releasing yourself and saying, oh God, I'm desperate. I need you. I need your presence. I need your deliverance. I need your power. And they know the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. You got to believe. Brother and sister, you got to believe. Well, I prayed. No. I prayed. I got a hold of God. Yesterday morning, we got a hold of God. I'm telling you. There was power in the Holy Ghost yesterday morning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, help us today, Lord, to take away the things that hold us back, that limit us in our faith, to turn loose. We acquiesce to our certain situations. We accept it. And I don't believe we have to accept it. I don't believe we have to stay like we are. I just don't believe. God says, I'll do it. Call on me. Call on me. I'll do it. He's not a genie in the bottle. You know, we rub the lamp and all of a sudden He answers all our questions. Oh, no. There's dedication and consecration that comes involved. We have to have faith. We have to say, Lord, cover me with your precious blood. Let nothing, Lord, hinder my walk with you. Let me do the things, Lord. The things I know to do good, let me do them, oh Lord. Help me to be stronger. God says, I'll help you. He sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the third person of the Trinity, to dwell inside of us. The Comforter, praise God, Paraclete, one called alongside to help, one called alongside to shore us up, to hold us, to give us strength, to take us through the dark and hard places. The Holy Ghost. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to live in that situation. Well, Brother Ron, sometimes yes, there's a time. There's a season. But God is refining us as we pray, as we trust God, as we're believing. Lord, you see my situation. I don't know how I got here. I know I made some bad decisions or whatever the case may be. But Lord, take me out of this place. He is a faithful God. Hallelujah. When we read what he did to his chosen people, when we read how he brought them out in spite of their weaknesses, in spite of their backsliding conditions, in spite of their unbelief, he still made a way. Oh, hallelujah. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord, would you help us this morning? That we get a hold of that. That we get a hold of that with our hearts. The exceeding greatness of his power who believe. And John in his epistle writes, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You see, there's a qualification. We receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Perhaps repentance is necessary. Are you doing the things that are pleasing in his sight? You're asking the Lord, Lord, show me, lead me, guide me. I've been weak. I haven't been where you want me to be. I've had my down sittings. I've gotten discouraged. I've thrown my hands down and like I've given up. But Lord, you keep coming after me. Your goodness keeps running after me. Lord, you're speaking to me this morning. You want to bring me back. You want me bring me back to where I need to be. Praise God. I sense that by the Holy Spirit. We got loved ones out there need to come back. They need to come back. I'm not going to name any name. I'm judging him. I'm not being critical. They need to come back. It's God's will. God's calling. What's the church to do? We're going to pray. We're going to trust God. I'm going to trust God for your children and grandchildren and your families and my families and say, Lord, bring them back. They may live in other states. That's okay. Lord, bring them to a church where they can hear the word. The words that Peter wrote, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. No one be lost. Lord, help us this morning. Oh, what beautiful words in the scriptures. What beautiful encouragement. I'm going to close right here. Sisters, brother, sister, would you come forward? In this prayer, Paul said, open the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened that you may know what is the hope, the riches and the inheritance and the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Do you see what God did? He sacrificed his son to pay the price for your sin and my sin. We were sinners. Everyone that is born is a sinner. They're born sinners. The DNA in our DNA was that of a fallen nature, sinners, because of the sin of the original parents. And he didn't try to fix our old nature. He gave us a new nature. Praise God. Born again. A new nature. New creatures in Christ. But he did it. Praise God, by sacrificing his son to pay the awful price of your sin and my sin. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Impossible. The debt was so much. The debt was so high. We could never get there. But Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, paid that price. That you're here and I'm here this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord. And he's telling us, look, he says, call on me. I will answer. I'll show you great and mighty things. I want you to know the greatness of his power. I want you to know how he can transform your life, how he can fix your marriage, how he can fix your relationships, how he can heal your family. Can God do that? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. In the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah, it says some in there, it says, nothing is too hard. I'm the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for me. Amen. Amen. If he formed this world by the spoken word of his mouth, and he brought the people safely through the old covenant, and delivered his son for us to die, can he not do? Is he not able? Lord, help us to believe. Oh, brother and sister, whatever your greatest fear this morning, whatever it is, your greatest concern, I'm asking you this morning, just put it before the Lord. Lord, this is my fear, but I see your victory. I'm here. You're there. Bring me there. Amen. Bring me up there. Praise God. God will answer that prayer. It may take some time, but God will do it. May the name of the Lord be praised. Amen. Do we have a song?